out. And let's all stand. Let's go before him in prayer. Dear precious Lord, we are thankful for another opportunity, Lord, to gather. Lord, we gather in your precious name this night, Lord, once again. Lord, to sing songs about what you've done for us, to hear thy word. Lord, we just love and appreciate you for all thy goodness and your mercy and your grace. Just have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Page 228, I only believe.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Amen. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy kind. Hear my feeble plea.
thankful for His grace and His mercy. Page 392, same book. For a long time I traveled down a dark, lonely road. My heart was so heavy in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. Amen. I'm so glad that free. Hallelujah. Amen. Page 665, the only believe. Amen. Oh, once I was clothed in the wraps of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely.
By His blood, and I'm poor.
Hallelujah. Amen. You just think where you'd have been without His grace, His mercy. See all these people walking around you that is in sin. You're just so thankful that He pulled you out. Amen. Just thank Him so much for His mercy and His grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Amos, would you come up the offering? Praise His name. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly these songs have so much meaning, Lord, yes. For I can see in my life where I was wretched and vile, Lord, by Your grace and Your mercy. Oh, Lord, I thank You so much for all You've done, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity You granted to us, Lord, once more to be here, Lord, to gather with our brothers and sisters around Your word. Lord, may we not take one time for granted, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask that You have Your preeminence in the remainder of the service. Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive the portion You have for us this night, Lord. May it find that good ground in our hearts. Lord, we ask once more that You'll bless this offering. Lord, I ask that it'll be used for the upbuilding of Thy kingdom. Come it all into Your hands. We ask it in Your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. He brought me in. He brought me in. He brought me in. Oh, I praise God. He brought me in. Oh, the sisters to come.
The little eagle walked in the barnyard, in the midst of man's wisdom and creeds, till one day he had to look up. for he heard a familiar scream. Above him soared a mighty being, and then he realized that he too was an eagle, he too was born for the sky. He was born an eagle, born with eagle wings of faith to fly, built able to believe every promise of God and soar on high, where the storms of life can't harm him,
for he is pressurized.
Born an eagle, equipped for the sky. There's something inside a true eagle that longs for higher heights each day. He can take God at his promise, then just set his wings of faith. He can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it will be so. Nothing can stand before him. Every mountain has to go. We were born God's eagles, born with eagle wings of faith to fly, built able to believe every promise of God and soar on high, where the storms of life can't harm us,
for we are pressurized.
Born an eagle, equipped for the sky.
Ask our pastor to come. Let's sing our chorus. I want to live the way he wants me to live. Amen. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no.
Again, we are so thankful for this wonderful time again. And Lord, as we gather here and around this precious word, I'm asking once more, Lord, that you would just move in our hearts and take these precious words and make them as real as they need to be made real in our hearts. Lord, so many times we've seen down through our life that we would think that a certain word would maybe be just where it needs to be placed in our heart. And then a time comes, Lord, that the Holy Ghost begins to move and we see it in a much greater way and how much more important it is and how it must take place in our own personal life. And I'm trusting, Lord, you'll do that tonight with this precious word. Regardless who we are and what our standing is before you and before people, and that, Lord, this will truly see the importance, oh God. Some reason I feel in my heart, Lord, is, Lord, I'm afraid that we won't see it like we need to. And that's why I'm really trusting you tonight, Lord. We've heard many things in the Word of God so many times, but yet without the Holy Spirit, it won't reach that point in our life. So we ask that you do that tonight now as we yield to you, and help us just to have our ears open, our hearts open, and not let anything distract us. Nothing that's happened today or what's going on tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. And Lord, today, there may have been something that took place that's just so temporal and so foolish. But Lord Jesus, this is the most important thing now in our life. So commit ourselves unto you now in your holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Colossians, first chapter. Amen. I trust you will have your heart open tonight. Amen. Colossians 1, and we'll read beginning probably about the 15th verse. Amen. And again, Lord willing, I would like this to prepare us for Sunday. And I don't know who will be here or what goes on and what happens. Only God knows all that, but sometimes maybe it'll take more preparation than what we think for a certain thing, you see. All right, so 15th verse. Who is the, well, this back up, in whom we have the redemption, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head. I want you to listen. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. May the Lord bless again the reading his word, and you may be seated. Now, one thing we know for sure, God doesn't lie. None at all, you see. And everything that he says is very important. I mean, there's nothing God does that isn't important. I mean, there may be times you may read a scripture, you may listen to this, the prophet said, or something like that. And maybe to you as an individual, it may seem at the time that that particular, maybe certain thing isn't too important. But again, everything is important. God's got a purpose in it, you see. And maybe we're not tuned in sometimes to what it should be, or in our life to what to be able to catch what it is. And I've seen it so many times down through life. You know, you see people, you know, you may be talking about a certain thing in the Word of God. And, you know, you may be together and listening to a certain thing in the Word. maybe sitting there reading a scripture, and maybe to one person it's my, that's just so wonderful and so great and powerful, you know. And then maybe the one sitting right beside of you is just, yeah, it's okay. You know, it's, why, sure, it's important. You know, they might even go as far as to say how important it is. And, you know, but it just, there's something about what happens on the inside to one individual maybe versus the other one, you know, by seeing the importance of it and the reality of it. And it's, I'm trusting as we go into these things tonight that you will all see the importance of this, because it's building up to a certain something I want to bring that I know for sure it's what the Lord wants. And now every devil in hell may try to detour it and try to push it aside, but it still must be brought. Amen. And it must be a reality. It ain't that it hasn't come forth before, but it must be a reality, you see. Because we're not here to bring anything different than the scripture says or anything the prophet has said. But have we caught the reality of it? That's the thing. And again, that's only a work of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Ghost can do for us, you see. So in reading this, I want you to really pay attention to that 18th verse. And he is the head of the body. Now, aren't we the body of Christ? We're part of that body of Christ, aren't we not? All right. He is the head of the body. And he says, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, not in, he didn't say most things or part things. You know, in some scriptures he uses things that were done in part. But this is all things, he said. Okay? All things, he might have the preeminence. Okay, that he would have the control of, he would be the lordship of, they would be under submission to him. And that submission is a very important word. And of course, that's why we have so many divorces today, because the woman not being able to come under submission to the man, and even people that's married under the right vows and stuff that, they still just can't, women just can't seem to come under that submission to that man and let him be her head. And that oftentimes causes such a conflict and causes problems in the home and life in its general in itself between husband and wife, because the wife not knowing her position. And she may, you know, the husband may, he's supposed to be the head and he knows that and understands that, but if the woman don't really understand that, she always has to try to get in there and buck what the man has already decided to do. And then try to change things, and then oftentimes when she does that, not being in her place and not being in a position she should be as a woman, then oftentimes it brings this hardship and troubles and problems. And she oftentimes brings things that's not the right idea. I'm not saying the woman hasn't got the right idea sometime. I know my wife sometimes has some pretty good ideas, and I listen, you know. And if it's a good idea, yeah, it sounds good. Let's do that. I believe it would be better to do this or that the other way. You know, of course, some men's got the attitude, they're Mr. Dictator, and, you know, just keep your mouth shut, woman, you know. And, you know, it's not really a true love for her and understanding to give her opportunity to see what she desires and so forth. But anyhow, it's not my subject tonight. But anyhow, I want you to think about him being the head, a true head. Now, remember, if even in the natural, between husband and wife, if the man is the true head, everything goes through that man. The decisions to be made, maybe the finances, whatever it may be, goes through that head. Maybe a decision of what, maybe where they're going to go, goes through that head. A true wife to her husband, if she even wants to go somewhere. Honey, is it all right I go here? Is it all right I do this? Is it all right I do that? She's showing she's under submission. She doesn't make her own decisions. She just don't jump in a car and go to Columbus on her own and nothing ever said. And husband don't even know what's going on. Now that's not headship. That's the woman in control. Maybe it comes time to making love and the woman not quite under submission. She just is upset with the husband because he maybe didn't do a certain thing that she wanted to do around the house at a certain time. So she wants to show her disapproval. Not being under his headship, she shows her attitude, shows her disapproval, and the home's a mess. How oftentimes do we as a wife to Christ, really honestly, let him be the headship of our life? That our life, we talked about last week, is centered on wanting him to be the head. Wanting to be the headship. You know? And another thing about a good wife, you know, maybe the alarm clock goes off and she, well, what would you like to have to eat this morning, hon? She makes sure everything's okay. You know, Brother Bram mentioned about me to making sure his shirts was ironed and ready to go the next service and whatever, you know. Everything's just right, you know. And some women has no clue to that kind of life. I mean, to express that her husband is the headship and that she loves him and respects him. They don't have a clue. And oftentimes that filters over into their walk with Christ. And that type of life filters over from a man that is not that way with his headship, which is Christ. For God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. So we find that these things we often see in people's physical life between husband and wife, it often shows up in their spiritual walk with Christ. There's not that close relationship there. You know, not a real true love and that show that you care for each other. And you're not really concerned about your husband, whether he's got his clean pair of pants to go to work with or not. So what? She don't care if the dishes build up to the ceiling, you know, thinking that the husband would like to have a decent clean house, you know. She doesn't care. That's the way spiritually our walk gets with the Lord oftentimes. We don't care if our dishes get clear to the ceiling. We're not really concerned about really what God wants. Really thinking about it. Praying about it. What he really wants. It's just, yes, I'm a wife of Christ and I'm bride and just slop everything. Not really concerned. Not really caring what the Lord wants. You know? And it's, like I say, it's what you see women do many times. They could care less what their husband wants. And they expect it to be a good marriage. It's all about themselves. You know, God's Word even gives us the understanding that even with doing things with each other, think more on the things of others than the things yourself. How much greater should that be for God? Think more on the things for Him. Being as He's your head, He's the love of your life, He saved your life. You know, how many of us husbands have saved our wife's life? Maybe they's in a bad circumstance and they's about ready to die, getting ready to fall off a cliff, and we grabbed hold of them and saved them. We didn't even come close to it. No. But He saved our life. He's really done a lot for us. And then we'd be such a sloppy wife. Wives that just don't care. So what you need this? So what you want this done? So what you want me to live like this? I've got more important things to do. I've got to go do this. Ever see women do that? Might be time for dinner. Yeah. And she'd rather be off doing something else instead of getting dinner ready and have dinner ready when the husband gets home from work and it's waiting on him. You ever see women do that? Yeah. So careless. So nonchalant. But yet they want all the benefits to be called a wife. Yeah. Listen to me, saints. I'm trying to use these natural things and that happen in life, and I want you to think about it. Because I'm going to tell you what, regardless what a woman does, regardless what she does, God still placed that man the head. Now, some men are sissies. They ain't got no more backbone than anything. You know, and they just let things slide and don't care. Let this go, let that go. But you'll never find God being that way. Never. To where he just lets things go. Excuse me. Lets things slide. Where he don't care. Look how many times he chastens us. Rebukes us. Don't let anything slide. No. Because he wants everything just the way he ordained it to be. All things consist. By him all things were made. And when it comes to the body, his wife, he's got her that he would have the preeminence of her. And his true wife, not somebody just comes along and says, oh, I'm your wife, I want to be your wife. You know, be like some you men, brothers sitting here and maybe have some flapper come up to you, oh, you're my husband from now on. I claim you as my husband. Get out of here, you flirt, you prostitute. Get out of here. I have nothing to do with you. You adulteress. Get out of my face. You have no right with me. You're not my wife. You know? But look at the people that flirt and try to make our Lord Jesus Christ their husband. Just because we claim he's our husband, don't make him our husband. Just because we want him to be, don't make him be our husband. No. He didn't place you and choose you. There just ain't nothing for you. And we can do all our flirting and all, but the only thing that is, that flapper and that flirter always shows up. You know? You don't want him to really be your head. You don't want him to really have the preeminence of your life. You just want to try to draw all the benefits of being his wife. You want to get healings, and you want your blessings of this provided for you, and you want this done for you, and this, that, and the other, and you're not even his. But you want all these benefits. You want these benefits of eternal life and all these blessings in life that comes from him. Well, it don't belong to you. But there is a wife that all these things belong to. Are you going to be one of them? Are you going to be a flirter? That you want to take all this slop in the house that you want and still try to be his wife? Okay? I'll read this scripture again in St. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, we read this last week, he will keep my words. He didn't say maybe. If he loves me, and again, as I said before, you know, love is so messed up anymore. Oh my, everything's called love anymore. You know, people say they fall in love and this, that, and the other, and they're in love with this person and that, and they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and their heart's far from Him. Love is just so devalued anymore. People have lost the reality of what love is. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It don't think and do things unseemly. Love endureth all things. Love is so different than what man calls love. And our Lord Jesus, through His Word, is telling us, if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. Yeah. And any real genuine wife, if she really loves her husband, she will try her best to please him. Yes. She will try her best. Yeah. And there may be times that maybe, you know, it may seem hard. It may seem like, why does he want to do this? And why does he like this? You know, he may ask you to cook something and you hate it. But are you going to not cook it because you hate it? That's the way people do with God. Because we don't like doing it, but it's what God wants. We just kind of push it off the side. We don't think it's necessary. We don't think it's necessary to have to do this certain way or this, that certain way, because I don't like to do it. But what has He desired? What has He wanted? Are we in a position with Him that we look for those things He wants done? The things He desires of us? I hope I'm making you think. Okay? Because it's all building up to something. We want all these many things that God blesses us with. We want healings. We want needs provided. We want spiritual things from Him. There's just all kinds of things we ask. How many has asked the Lord this week so far for something from Him? Amen. I would think all of us have. If nothing else, a greater revelation. The Word of God, whatever it may be. You know, I'm sure we would have asked something from Him. If not, don't you ever talk to Him? Are we one of them women that gets upset and we go off and pout somewhere and we're going to give Him silent treatment? We'll give Him silent treatment, and I'll talk to Him when I want to. He'll move when I want Him to move. That don't work that way with God. Nope. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. That's a pretty simple way of putting it. He that loveth me not. So I don't have to question, and I don't even... You sit there as individuals, and I stand here tonight. There's no way we even have to question or begin to wonder within ourselves if we really love God or not. He plainly tells us, he that loveth me will keep my words. He that don't love me, don't keep my sayings. Yeah. So I don't have to wonder if I love him or not. That tells me right there. I don't have to sit there and try to get some kind of scientific answer. I don't have to listen to 1,500 preachers tell me about it. No, I just got to read that one scripture. That's all it takes. I either love him or I don't love him. Same as God knows whether the women here love your husband really or not. And he also knows whether you men love your wife or not. And remember, you men, we must love our wife as Christ loved the church. That's a lot of love, even when she's done wrong. Yeah, how many times have we done wrong? And he still loved us. Yeah, he still loved us. It's a lot of love. You say, boy, what are you trying to build up to? Well, let's see. Maybe Lord willing, Sunday we'll find out. Absolute, just a quick recover of this, recap of this. Talking about Paul, and after his conversion, he had a Christ-centered life. That's all I'll read of that part of it tonight. After his conversion, he had a Christ-centered life. Okay. And Christ's mystery God revealed, just a quick reminder of this before we go on some other quotes we didn't read yet. Paragraph 131. He is the thing. He was the prophets. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. And he is in things to come. The same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. If you're writing it down, he should be, see? Then he should be the principal, if that's what he is. And we believe it, don't we? Congregation says amen. Then if he is that, then he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. He should be the principal theme. As I stand here tonight, I know only by the Holy Ghost can you understand what he just got done saying. Absolutely impossible to understand that and to desire to have it in your life without the Holy Ghost. You'll never see it. It's just something now, Brother Steve, read it again. And that's all it means. Is this understood great enough to where really we do seek constant in our life, what is your will, Lord? What do you desire of me? What do you need done, Lord? What's next? What's my next move, Lord? What do you want me to say? What do you even want me to be thinking about? What do you really permit me to talk about? We're talking about something on the inside that's controlling us, that really controls us. It's not it's out here, these words, as he said, the principal theme of our talking, our thinking, our walks. It's not it's out here and you're trying to bring it in. It is in here and it's moving out. And bringing this under submission. Bringing the spirit under submission. Just reasoning, conscience, imagination, affection, memory. Yeah. It's in here now and moving out. Most people have it out here and struggling to bring it in within themselves to be that. That'll never live. It's got to be inside here. It's got to be the controlling source of really what's happening. We think the prophet was trying to show us about Apostle Paul, that prisoner. These men that done what they did, even clear back to Moses, look what he traded in. All the nicest it could be. Fanciest stuff. The best food to eat. Everything just right. The nicest of clothes. Traded it all in for a mud dauber. And to follow this, what? To tell you every move to make. Every move. And through Moses' life proved it. That God had control. any man, his natural carnal way of thinking, would never run from all that great army they was running from and face a Red Sea and get stuck. Why don't he make sense? But he was following what God told him to do. He was following a pillar of fire. Everything was controlled by that. Yeah. And then God gave a prophet in this last day and brought forth another vindication of that example. This life was so controlled, watching every move, listening to every least command from God. Have we found that position yet? That we're listening, watching, waiting. We're talking about a true Christ-centered life. Really, truly. To where really, truly, he is the theme of our talking, the principal theme, the most important theme of our talking, the most important theme of our walks in life. What we think about. Do we go through the day and then we begin to think of things and maybe our mind gets on something it shouldn't be on? Is there something there? Brings it right back into submission. Huh? Or is it just, well, you know, we get to brewing about maybe something somebody did to us. Maybe the way they're treating us. And we get to brewing and we get to brewing more and just stir and melt and get to thinking more and harder. And then all of a sudden then we start thinking things that shouldn't be. Wasn't there something that wouldn't have stopped that earlier? He's supposed to be the principal theme of our thinking. Maybe something the husband's done and maybe you just don't quite approve of it and it just starts brewing and it starts brewing and starts brewing. And then you get agitated. And then he might say, honey, can you throw me a couple eggs in the skillet? All right, if you think you need it. Why didn't it stop a long time ago? We're talking about him being the principal theme of our thinking too. You see? Saints, I just want us to come to reality. That this has to be real and it has to be living. We can talk about it all day long. We can talk about some other brother talking about it. We can get together as brothers and we can talk about it and all this and other. But what about in our everyday, every second life? Every second of our life. You see? The principal theme of our talking, our thinking, our singing is he the principal theme of our singing? Is that why we sing, as I've mentioned before? Or are we just singing with the rest of the congregation? You know, because everybody else is singing. And there's no more thoughts going out for maybe him on the cross, paid that price for me, save me from that old wicked life. All these different things he's done, maybe a healing and what he's blessed me with. Is those things going through my mind as I'm worshiping the Lord? Is there really a thoughts of appreciation and love going to him when it's a song of worship? Or is it just we're singing because we're singing with the rest of the people? I'm happy because I'm singing with the rest of the people. Oh my. See, the principal theme of our singing. Okay, it's in one of these quotes here, Brother Branham talks about people don't sing like they used to. Tears running down their cheeks. Just something going from the inside out, just worshiping and praising God. A love going back to him. Now we've become too formal. Who cares about really what I've done, just as long as I'm singing with the rest of the people and I get that part of the service over with. It's about the way it is sometimes, you know. But is it really something going through your thoughts? What he really means to you. What he has done for you. What he's doing present for you. What he may be going to do for you. Whatever it may be. You see. He should be the principal theme. In other words, the most and first in importance of our life. is it to us? If he's the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do, say, or think should be Christ. And he says, is that right? Amen. So be it. You see? It has to be real. But that's what took place in Paul's life after his conversion. Not just telling people, I'm born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. No. Honestly, myself, personally, this is me now. This is me. I'd rather see a person never say anything about it and just let their life show that it happened. Because so many times this is lied. So many times this is doesn't even know a reality of it. But when a life comes forth from it, then you know it's happened. It's real. It's genuine. There's no hypocrisy about it. You know. But of course, if it really happens, it's hard to keep your mouth shut about it. But one thing about it, your life will jump the same loudness that's going out with your mouth. Your life will come forth with it. You see. All right. I won't hold you too long. It's been a half hour already. But I'm trying to my best, Lord willing, to express these things, to at least open an opportunity in your heart to at least maybe pray a little more about it. Amen. To seek the Lord about it. That it'll be your meditation through the day. You'll think about it. You see. In Christ, Mr. God revealed also, and paragraph 141. First thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. He's talking about the threefold purpose of God. Actually, we'll skip down to the second, because the part I want to reach to for this evening before we close. Secondly, again, this is the second of the threefold purpose, okay? Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is, his bride. So it's not just to everybody, his bride only. This is the only ones this is going to happen in. His bride. Now you may sit there and you may even be thinking about, Brother Steve, you're making this thing so discouraging. I've got a young person sitting here and they don't need to be listening to this kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you this. If there's a gene of God in there, there's something already in there going, that's what I've got to have. This is it. You say, how do you know? Because I had the same thing, friends. It may be something that's burning the hide clear off of me, but I know something down on the inside, that's me. That's me. I've got to reach that place. I've got to have that. That's me. Now, if it's sitting on there on the inside, I'm so tired of listening to this stuff. I can't wait to get out of here. I feel sorry for you. But just because we all come here, don't make us bride. No. But I've got to tell the truth anyway. It's got to be made alive and real. Amen. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. He might live in people. So when people then see you, they will see Christ. Now, he could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them. So now there had to be some way to get it back again. He said, oh, this is rich to me. I wonder if I just got what I just got done reading so far, if that sounded rich to us. Did that sound good? Did that sound exciting? Because you know you're a part of what he's saying here. Or it wasn't too rich to you. Wasn't too appetizing. Wasn't very tasty. He said, this is rich to me. Just even think of it. See what God's purpose was. Now, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Then he would never be able to express his fullness, his full attribute. Because he could have been father there, that's true, but also he's a savior. You say, well, how do you know he was? He is because I've had the experience. I like that. I know he's a Savior because I've had the experience. See, he is a Savior, and he had to express that. And how could he do it? Only through Christ. See? How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. So just remember that. It was in his attributes, it was his thoughts. They became expressed that he wanted to be a healer. He wants to be your healer. Yes. So if he wanted to be a healer, he had to do something to get us in the right position to receive that healing. Is that right? So don't forget it. Don't forget it now. See, all things are wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. Oh, he said, when I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene. See, they ain't even close to the reality of it, you see. And everything else just going. I see God's great purpose revealing himself and having first to reveal himself in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and then to bring that fullness of the Godhead bodily into a people. Wow. That he could have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading. Now ask yourself, what's leading you every day? What is leading you? Now remember, if I attach you, which we'll get to it, not tonight, but if I attach you to a rope, and I'll tell you what, I'll take electrical tape or duct tape and tape your hands to that rope where you can't let go. And then I'm going to take the other end and I'm going to pull on it. And you go wherever I pull you from, pull you to. Now we're going to talk about real leading. You can't let go because you're taped to it. And we'll go with gorilla duct tape. It's really tough, and it really hurts your skin to even try to pull it off. So we'll just duct tape your hands as tight as we can. We can't even see the skin on your hands. And now I'm going to take the other end of the rope, and I'm going to pull on it. And you're going to follow me wherever I pull you to. And you can't even let go. You might sit there and you just try to squeeze your hands out of it, and you ain't even got another hand loose to be able to start pulling the tape off. So you're stuck there. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us something. A tape called love. And there's absolutely no way you can let go of his leadership. Now, is leadership out here somewhere and I'm going to try to bring it into me? Or has it been put on the inside and I can't let go of it? Even if somebody comes by and smacks me in the face, I'm still attached to that. They can smack me and I can trip in a mud puddle and everything else and I can get pulled right out of the mud puddle. And I'm still attached. This test, that trial, this mud, this muck. And I still can't get loose. I'm attached to something, and I can't even get loose from it. And I'm reminded of it everywhere I go, because every time I look down, it's there. I feel it on me. I feel my hands are so tight. It feels like it's cutting the circulation off. It's cutting all my carnal life clear out. And I'm still fastened. I can't get away from it. I go to work, I can't get away from it. Go to town, you can't get away from it. People gather around you telling their dirty jokes and you still can't get away from it. Everything about it, you just can't get away from it. I don't care what comes around. As I said, you ain't even got nothing loose to where you can start unwrapping it. It's so bound, so tied together. It's tied together with love. I hope you notice what I said there, because I'm going to show you, Lord willing, and remind you, not that you ain't already heard it, but there's something about it. You absolutely can't control it. You can't get away from it. No way. Not alone just go along and forget about it. Not alone go 4 or 5 days or a week or two and not even act like we even serve God, you know. Yeah. Just can't get away from it. Yeah. Because we're fastened. Do you have that kind of life? Everything? Everything, but Steve? Boy, you really are fanatical now. The Lord Jesus Christ expects us to be down here and to be free and do as we want and have pleasures and do these things and that things. Does he? Or is that what your carnal mind tells you? If God said he'd have a body that he'd have preeminence of, it meant just exactly what he said. Yeah. Not everybody's cut out for it. Not everybody's predestinated for it. But that don't change his word. By no means. Now, I trust some of these things begin to start coming together for you when even the Lord Jesus himself said, I do nothing unless the Father shows me first. That's something we just spit out. Oh, I know Jesus said that, but he didn't really mean that. Or isn't, you ain't got the right importance of that, brother. What does these things mean? What does a message like the prophet brought a prisoner mean to us? I'll tell you what it means to most people. It was just a message Brother Brennan brought. And he was just talking about preachers, I'll say sometime. Just talking about prophets. Oh, how brain dead they are. Yeah. Spiritually brain dead. Blind as bats. But God has got to have this people, and he will have this people. It's his bride. If you have a seed laying in you right now, friends, you know what I'm saying is what it's got to be. Yes. You've got to meet this where it says he's the principal theme of our talking, our walks, whatever, our thinking, everything. It's got to be. It has to be. I just trust the Holy Ghost will take care of what I can't, because I can't take care of very much of it. The only thing I can do is to repeat what he said and to try to throw in some examples here and there to try to get you to think about it and at least maybe pray a little more about it. For it ain't just another message. Oh my. Do you realize how many people, saints, in this message don't have a clue what that Christ, Mr. God, unveiled is? Not a clue. They can talk all about the other things, you know. But when it comes down to digging into those parts of it, let's put a rug over that. That's too much of a price to pay. It cuts out a lot of life for myself as an individual and just pleasures and carnality and me wanting to be a jokester and me wanting to go here when I want to and this, that, and the other. That cuts out a lot of things, and I don't want that kind of life. It's like some women, they don't really, once they get married, they don't really like that kind of life, being married. Yeah. But friends, if you really are true wife to Jesus Christ, this is what you want, long for. This is the longing in your heart to be everything that he desires you to be. Just like any really true wife to her husband would be. She wants to do everything that makes him happy that she possibly can. I mean, I'm talking as long as it's in limits of the word and all that. You see? But that's, she just loves to do that. And she's looking for things that makes her husband happy. She looks for it. Yeah. How much are we looking for to make him pleased? To please him. Oh, Lord, help us.
Amen.
All of us. Me too. I'm not leaving myself out. But as I go along every day, the Lord opens my understanding greater to his word. And I want to share it with you. I trust that you will be on the same ship.
Amen.
So we'll be in fellowship. In one mind and one accord. Till we come to the unity of the faith and the fullness and the stature of Christ. Oh, how far have we got to go yet? Only God knows. Sometimes I feel like I got to go a long ways yet. When I begin to see things and more important and I see the reality of it. And then it's over here. And then you look, it's over there. And it's over here, it's over here, it's over there. Everywhere you look, it's there. And all these different things that Jesus would say and the prophet did and these other prophets did, it all keeps just gelling together. Yeah, there it is. There's the picture. There it is. You know. And you're so thankful to see the picture. In closing, saints, I don't want to just be known as a Christian. No. I want to be known that without him I can do nothing.
Amen.
And that Jesus Christ lives in me. And he has the preeminence. And he may lead me to do things. He may lead you to do things sometimes that people can't understand why you're doing it. Or why wouldn't you go on this trip? Or why wouldn't you go do this? And why wouldn't you go do that? And why wouldn't you buy this? And why wouldn't you do that? Because it's not my will, but his will, whatever it is. You see? And how those men of old gave us those examples so many times, but we don't want to seem to really fully apply it in our lives as a personal individual with God. But I trust we will see that. Amen. Let us all stand. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, at the closing of another service, today is another day of history now, Lord. This service tonight is history. It's over with now. But what will we do with it, Lord, these precious words that the prophet spoke? I can see down through the years, Lord, so many people are so excited and they get so happy to see the mighty things that you would do through the prophet. And all the great things that happen. Just so joyous over it. But when it comes down, Lord, to the reality of every word, it doesn't seem to have the excitement to it. It doesn't seem to have the ring to it as it would be these other things that took place. And those things were done to vindicate that prophet, to show that he was yours. That he was the one that Malachi 4 spoke of. Revelation, Luke, all these other scriptures spoke of that prophet coming. But now, Lord, it's time for the reality of the life of what he brought. That, Lord, you could have a preeminence over your body. Oh, God, help me to yield and surrender to you greater. I want you to have that full and complete preeminence in my life. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me any time you haven't. Please help me, Lord. Help me to yield to you. Give me everything it takes, Lord Jesus, to be that one. I trust that it'll be the desire of everyone's heart in here in this building tonight. Go with us now. And again, we ask you to protect us and guide us and keep us, Lord, in your care. Protect us upon the highways. And again, Lord, if you should tarry, bring us back the next appointed time. Lord Jesus, that we'd have our hearts and thoughts and everything about us centered on things above, not on things of the earth. Oh God, may all these scriptures come truly alive in our hearts and our lives. We ask it in your glorious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord Jesus bless you. I'm sorry I've held you this long. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.